Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise to bring you the insights that truly matter. Think about how many times a day you reach for a search engine. I mean, whether it's for that elusive recipe, directions, or just trying to understand something complex. Search has been such a constant in our digital lives, but what if I told you the ground beneath it has completely shifted from those really early, almost basic days of keyword matching to the incredibly complex conversational AI we see today? It's a whole new world. Today, we're peeling back the layers on this massive evolution. We're going to explore not just how AI processes your queries, but what that seismic shift means for how you find information, and critically, how we all need to think about presenting information to both humans and machines now.
Yeah, and our mission for you today is pretty clear. We want to demystify these big shifts. You should walk away with some concrete insights into how AI actually thinks, you know, its inner workings. And that should arm you with clear, actionable takeaways for navigating this rapidly changing information landscape. Our deep dive today draws its insights from a really powerful chapter of the AI search manual, which offers some incredibly practical guidance on AI-driven search.
Okay, so let's dive right in. Search has like never stood still, right? It's been this relentless journey of trying to understand what we really mean when we type something into that little box. Remember those early days? It felt like we were all just shouting keywords into the void, kind of hoping something stuck.
Oh, absolutely. Those were the days of n-gram matching. Yeah. Essentially, the search engine was playing a very literal keyword bingo game. You typed best pizza NYC, and the system just looked for those exact words, those combinations. It was blunt and honestly pretty bad at context. The real insight, though, was how quickly we all realized its limitations.
And the problem was exactly that bluntness, wasn't it? The system couldn't tell if you typed Apple and meant the fruit or the tech company or like a record label. There was zero context, no nuance. It was just a frustrating guessing game for everyone involved.
Exactly. And that frustration, well, it sort of birthed the shift towards intent recognition. Andre Breuer's framework from the early 2000s gave us a much needed way to think about it: informational, navigational, and transactional searches. This was a really critical pivot because it moved beyond just matching words to trying to understand what the user actually wanted to achieve.
You called that a game changer. I mean, how radically did this force content creators to rethink everything? Was it like an immediate switch or did it take time?
It was definitely revolutionary, but yeah, it was a slow burn for many. It meant moving away from just chasing raw keyword counts. Instead, you had to align your content with the user's purpose. This meant that even perfectly keyword-stuffed content could suddenly become invisible if it didn't actually solve the user's problem in the way they expected. Take cheap flights to Chicago. In the early 2000s, you might have found an old blog post ranking for that. But once intent classification got better, booking engines with live fare data started to dominate that search because they fully satisfy the transactional intent.
Right, so the actual utility became the most important thing. But what if a brand couldn't offer that live data? Did they just kind of disappear for those transactional searches?
They absolutely had to adapt, or yeah, they did disappear in many cases. It showed us that search was becoming about solutions, not just lists of information. And then we started seeing users asking full sentence questions, you know, like, what's the safest SUV for families in 2024? Instead of just typing SUV safety ratings, what drove that change? Well, two major forces really pushed that forward. First, the breakthroughs in natural language processing, or NLP, were massive. Think Google's Hummingbird update back in 2013, and then later RankBrain and BERT. These upgrades radically improved the system's ability to interpret those long natural language queries with all their subtleties. Second, users just started to trust the system more. They realized they didn't have to talk like a search engine anymore. The system could actually understand normal human language.
Okay, so for content creators, it meant moving from optimizing just for keywords to optimizing for actual answers. Does that mean things like structured data, FAQs, maybe concise summaries became way more important, especially with that zero-click exposure where answers just appear directly in knowledge panels or featured snippets?
Precisely. Before, if you searched for, say, who is the president of France, you'd just get a list of web pages. After Hummingbird, the answer, Emmanuel Macron, would often appear instantly, pulled directly from structured data right there on the results page. That's a perfect example of zero click.
It feels like we've crossed another huge gap now, though. We're not just asking questions anymore, we're having conversations. These multi-turn interactions where AI interfaces actually remember the context, this seems like a completely different level.
Yeah, what's really key here is context retention. Traditional search treated every single query as totally independent. Now, if you ask, what's the best CRM for mid-sized B2B companies? And then you follow up with, okay, which of those integrates with HubSpot? And then maybe, can you compare the pricing for me? The AI remembers the whole thread. It carries your constraints forward automatically, blending information from, well, all over the web.
Wow. So what does this actually mean for our content strategies? Does it imply we need to think about our content as like a truly interconnected ecosystem where the AI might pull different pieces from different assets to put together an answer instead of just focusing on that one perfect landing page?
You've absolutely nailed the core of it. Those follow-up questions can drive much deeper discovery. The AI might pull info from different parts of your site, maybe even pages you didn't originally optimize for that first query. And the AI might explore tangents, or what we call branching needs, that you didn't anticipate, but which still relate back to the original question. For instance, in Google AI mode, if you start with best SEO tools for enterprise, and then ask which ones have AI features, it doesn't restart the search from scratch. It actually filters that synthesis it already created.
So it's not just about one isolated question anymore, but a whole journey. And now AI is even orchestrating these journeys without us asking for every single step. That sounds like a huge leap. What does intent orchestration really mean for businesses trying to get their message out?
Intent orchestration means that AI isn't just sitting there waiting for your next command. It's proactively predicting your next steps. It does this based on your query, sure, but also your past interactions, maybe your user profile, and real-time data. It's initiating a whole chain of related actions. Think about asking it to plan a trip to Lisbon in October. The AI might immediately pull flight and hotel data, maybe filter it based on your past booking habits, and could even suggest local events it thinks you'd like.
Yeah, I've seen examples where things like ChatGPT-5 could potentially draft a whole custom itinerary, book reservations, add calendar reminders, all from that one initial prompt. This feels like where a whole new discipline comes in, generative engine optimization, or GEO. It's like SEO, but for a world where AI doesn't just find content, it generates responses and maybe even takes action based on what it finds, that's a massive jump.
It really is. And for GEO, the big challenge is ensuring your brand stays in the mix as the AI orchestrates all these transitions between different intents. This means mapping your content to multiple potential intent states, using structured data really well to help the AI jump between your different assets, and trying to anticipate adjacent topics the AI might pivot towards. Your products need clear parameters. Your how-to guides need to be modular so an AI can easily reformat them into, say, actionable checklists.
Okay, this is where it gets seriously interesting, maybe even a little sci-fi. AI isn't just reacting, it's starting to anticipate and even ask us questions. Let's talk about proactive agents and prompt inversion. This sounds like AI is moving from being just an assistant to, well, a genuine partner.
Proactive agents are really fascinating because they try to detect your underlying needs, your latent needs, based on patterns in your behavior or maybe external data triggers. They don't wait for you to ask, they initiate the action. Imagine an enterprise AI noticing your brand isn't showing up in the top three results for a really high-value product query and then alerting your marketing team with suggested optimizations. Or maybe a travel assistant checking hotel options near a conference venue right after you book your flight. This demands incredibly structured, accessible data and really clear action endpoints so these agents can actually do things, not just make suggestions.
Wow, that sounds like a whole new level of personalization, almost predictive. And then there's prompt inversion, where the AI asks us for more context. Does this mean we're kind of outsourcing the refinement of the search itself back to the AI?
In a way, yeah. Instead of you having to guess the perfect phrasing, the AI drives the refinement process. So if you ask Google AI mode to plan a trip to Lisbon in October, it might come back with, okay, are you traveling solo or with a group, before it even shows you results. Or ChatGPT-5 might ask, do you prioritize integrations, cost, or scalability when you ask it to help choose a CRM system? This means your content needs to be adaptable, ready for these different follow-up scenarios. The depth of your coverage really matters because the AI might surface your content in the second or third interaction, not just the first one.
So this is a real shift, isn't it? From a sort of pull model where we initiate everything to almost a continuous adaptive assistance model, where relevance means staying useful as the AI steers the whole interaction. It feels like once this becomes normal for consumers, being relevant means being in the AI's knowledge graph before the question is even asked.
Absolutely. You see platforms like Perplexity and Microsoft Copilot already experimenting heavily with this, and it really highlights why Browder's original model of just informational, navigational, transactional intent Well, it just isn't enough anymore. The range of user intent has exploded with AI.
You're totally right. These new AI contexts need a much broader way of thinking.
Yeah.
What are some of these expanded sort of AI-specific intents we should be considering now?
Well, now we see intents like comparative, where you're clearly evaluating options side by side, exploratory for more open-ended discovery, clarifying where the user is narrowing or reframing based on what the AI shows them. And crucially, we see orchestrated and ambient intents. Orchestrated kicks off that chain of related actions we talked about. Ambient means you're getting proactive, context-triggered updates without even searching. Then you add proactive agent, prompt inversion, and even things like creative generation intents to the mix.
So, okay, what's the big takeaway from understanding all these new categories? If brands are only optimized for those obvious, visible search queries, are they going to miss out on a whole lot of these, like, hidden interactions happening under the surface?
That's a really important point. If your content isn't discoverable and usable at that action orchestration level, you effectively become invisible during these crucial AI-driven interactions. It's about being present and useful when the AI is invisibly retrieving, evaluating, and acting on behalf of the user, sometimes without them even realizing it.
Okay, so if AI is doing all this complex orchestration and even asking its own questions, how is it actually breaking down our initial, maybe complex, queries behind the scenes? What's the mechanism there?
It's largely a three-step process, mostly invisible to us users. First, it often uses subqueries. A single complex query usually gets split into multiple smaller discrete search requests. Take something like, compare Trek FX3 versus specialized Cirrus for commuting and tell me which is better for rainy climates. An AI might internally run maybe five separate searches for that. Things like Trek FX3 specs, specialized Cirrus specs, best commuter bike for rainy climates, and then maybe performance data in rain for each specific bike.
That's pretty incredible. So my content could actually contribute to the final answer by satisfying just one of those subqueries, even if my page doesn't rank number one for the big original query. That really changes how we should think about content depth and scope.
Precisely. And then there's passage retrieval. Modern AI agents don't typically look at entire web pages anymore. Instead, they hunt for the most relevant passages, these compact, self-contained chunks of text that directly address a specific part of the need. Google's own research on passage ranking models describes how they use context windows to score these individual segments. So your huge 3,000-word blog post about hybrid bikes might only have two really well-structured paragraphs about rain resistance, and the AI can just lift those directly into its answer.
Which means how we structure our content, making it modular, easy to grab pieces from, is more critical than ever. Okay, what about query rewriting?
Right, query rewriting. AI platforms frequently reformulate the user's original query to improve clarity and the quality of what they retrieve. That's query rewriting. So if you ask, where should I stay in Lisbon for a conference in October? But the AI might internally rewrite that into several more specific queries, like Lisbon hotels near conference centers or Lisbon hotels with October availability and so on.
So the implication there seems to be that we need to design our content to be really AI friendly, like building entity-rich content, structuring it with clear, almost standalone sections, and making sure we cover those adjacent subtopics that might spin out into these hidden subqueries. This all leads us to a really crucial question. If AI is parsing our content so differently, are we now basically writing for two completely distinct audiences, humans and machines? What does AX for agents actually mean in practice?
This is really the fundamental shift we're seeing. We're no longer just thinking about human user experience, or UX, that's still vital, of course. But now we also have to optimize for agent experience, or AX. It's about designing content not just for human eyes scanning a page, but for machine minds parsing structure. Google's AI mode might extract just a single paragraph, blend it with others, and reframe it entirely. ChatGPT might go even further, taking structured data and actually executing tasks based on it.
Okay, so it's not just about looking good or reading well for humans anymore. It's about being explicitly intelligible, unambiguous for machines.
Mm.
But there's a potential conflict here, right? Should we be creating totally separate content versions, one for humans, one for AI? Or can a single piece of content actually serve both masters?
The current thinking, and what seems most practical, leans towards a hybrid approach. It's about focusing on structural duality. You layer the presentational cues that humans need visuals, flow, persuasive language over a really clear, machine-readable scaffolding that agents can understand. Imagine a product comparison page. For humans, it needs photos, easy to scan, pros and cons lists, maybe clear calls to action. But for the agents, that same page also needs to include structured product data, explicit brand mentions, consistent units for things like price or specs, stuff that can be parsed without any visual context at all.
That makes a lot of sense. Agents don't see the design. They read the underlying structure. So let's quickly walk through some common design elements. For humans, headings and subheadings break content up, make it readable. But for agents, what are they doing?
For agents, those H tags and maybe schema headlines become crucial semantic section labels. They help the agent segment the content, classify it, understand the hierarchy of information within the page. And missing or inconsistent metadata here makes the AI's job harder, makes its results less accurate, and makes it more likely to just substitute information from another source entirely.
Got it. And lists, bullet points for humans, that's all about scannability, right? Making it easy to grasp key points. What about for an agent?
For agents, those become delimited structured lists. They allow the AI to extract discrete individual atomic facts very easily. The more atomic and explicitly labeled your list items are, the higher the accuracy when an AI tries to reuse that information. And comparative tables.
Yeah.
Humans use them for easy side-by-side evaluation.
And for agents, I'm guessing they become structured comparison data sets, letting them directly compare specific attributes across different items as long as the data is consistent and clearly labeled. This applies across different AI platforms too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Google's AI mode, for instance, heavily favors clean semantic headings, clear lists using proper HTML, and well-structured tables. ChatGPT, when it's browsing, will look at alt text and captions to understand images, and it relies on structured data to extract parameters for actions. Perplexity seems to benefit a lot from entity tag narratives, and it really follows internal link structures to understand context. Each platform has slightly different preferences, but the core principle is the same. Clarity and structure are paramount for the agent.
Okay, so let me try to summarize these crucial takeaways for AX. First, agents don't see your design, they read your structure. Second, missing or inconsistent metadata makes AI results less accurate. And third, the more atomic and explicitly labeled your content is, the higher its reuse accuracy will be across all these different AI platforms. It really boils down to designing for a machine's understanding. Wow, what an incredible journey we've covered today. From the earliest, simplest days of just keyword matching all the way to these complex AI orchestrations that seem to anticipate our needs before we even fully articulate them, we've seen this critical shift from designing only for human UX to now optimizing for this dual audience of humans and intelligent agents. It really feels like we're moving beyond just searching to actually collaborating with AI. So what does this all really mean for you listening right now? The control of information discovery has fundamentally shifted. Google isn't just ranking pages in the same way anymore. It's orchestrating entire information flows.
Are we, as creators and businesses, truly preparing for a world where AI agents might be our primary audience for certain interactions? And how do we ensure our knowledge, our expertise, is always in the mix, discoverable, structured, actionable, even before the question is fully formed in the user's mind?
Yeah, it really means it's time to reevaluate your content strategy through this new lens. The value of structured, adaptable information in this emerging AI era just cannot be overstated. By focusing on explicit entity definition, clear structural markup, and action-ready formatting, you're not just optimizing for today's slightly different search results, you're building resilience for a future where your knowledge isn't just found, but intelligently applied by AI on behalf of users, driving real, tangible value.